SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, stevebick.com. And midweek, a situation that ideally was going to be draw day for Santa Anita, Derby Day, Oaks, and so forth, but yesterday, a further update from Santa Anita that Oaks Derby Day will be rescheduled, and they continue at Santa Anita to try to work out a plan with the L.A. County Health Department, who seem to be motivated by animal rights types to force Santa Anita to stop racing. And meanwhile, in Orange County and Alameda County, et cetera, and I can't say off the top of my head where Cal Expo is, but what county. But I expect we'll talk to Owen Hardy as early as this hour. The obvious short-term solution to this, in my mind, would be to utilize Los Al, would it not? They, of course, continue at Los Al with their evening programs, the quarter horse programs. Wouldn't that, you know, potentially keep things going for the Southern California thoroughbred population that is, you know, able to train? We'll ask Owen and see if there's been any discussions on that front and what the trainers, CTT and so forth, California with a somewhat convoluted system when it comes to the signal negotiating entities, the TOC, et cetera. And undoubtedly the ownership community and the horseman community would like to keep running. So we'll see if there's any potential in the offing. We do know that later today, 11:30 actually, this morning, NTRA and the Washington-based Alpine Group, my friend Greg Means and his partners, conducting a teleconference, and we'll give you all the details. Keith Shamblin's going to join us at 9:45. He's got a very busy morning, obviously, and they're getting ready for this. But Keith is going to be kind enough to spend 15 minutes with us and provide a kind of the introduction to what is going to be laid out today at this teleconference. And it is essentially a conduit and an advisory for, you know, all stakeholders, trainers and owners and virtually anybody that is being impacted. And there'll be a series of presentations that'll each address the various programs that are being introduced and now have been you know, passed by both sides of Congress. The Coronavirus Preparedness Response and Supplemental Appropriations Act, which allows $1 billion in loan subsidies available to small businesses, small agricultural cooperatives, and nonprofit organizations impacted. The Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which protects public health workers and provides important benefits to children and families. The Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economic Security Act, or the CARES Act. Emergency relief, that's the $2 trillion package, direct payments, etc. So the legislative team that the NTRA works with, and that also includes, in addition to the Alpine Group, the Dean Dorton organization, and when it comes to tax services. And so 11:30 press get together and teleconference. Anybody can listen in. And in fact, let me give you, for those that are inclined, 415-655-0001. 415-655-0001. And the access code is 614-564-921. 614, when they ask you for the, you know, for which teleconference you're buzzing into, 614-564-921. Okay, one more time. 415 is the phone, 415-655-0001. And access code 614-564-921. Alex Waldrop will probably introduce things. Jen Shah, Director of Tax Services, Equine Team Leader for Dean Dorton. Greg Means, Principal and CFO of Alpine Group. Lauren Basil, the Vice President of Alpine. And then there'll be questions, Q&As. So we'll find out from Keith how long this will go, and everyone can get their finger on the pulse of how your business specifically, and your trainers obviously are small businesses, and the loan basis, how they can tap into it and, you know, help them bridge any short-term, obvious, you know, short-term shortfalls, et cetera. So, Keith today at 9:45. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillandale as well. We'll talk to Sid in hour two, do some pedigree work, talk about the Constitution and 'tis the law, and what really is an interesting pedigree. And I'm anxious for Sid's input, because we hadn't spoken much about 'tis the law late last year. So we'll get some thoughts from Sid on the pedigree front for the Florida Derby winner. Some racing from yesterday, and the Fonner Park Will Rogers fun is really, you can't be more appreciative of what the teams at these two, you know, heretofore lesser-known ovals, what they have been offering. And it certainly has captured players' interest. Will Rogers yesterday, they are now arcing toward $4 million in handle daily. 3.4 essentially yesterday. So virtually with every added race day at Will Rogers and at Fonner, they're establishing, you know, new handle numbers. And yesterday, $3,376,000 at Will Rogers. At Fonner yesterday, and, you know, I'm not a huge jackpot bet guy, except on force-out days, but yesterday, the Dinsdale Auto Group Pick 5 handled $139,000. And the pool grew to just under $280,000 on the carryover. What was amazing yesterday at Fonner last night was what the what the pick five paid. And it, you know how we've talked about when it came to the jackpot at the Rainbow at Gulfstream, that when it gets to a certain critical mass in terms of handle, there become so many extraneous combinations that are being covered that it makes, you know, the ridiculous takeout structure, it makes it somewhat palatable because it neutralizes, you know, that extra money, puts a dent at least into the ridiculous way the jackpot bets are structured. Yesterday at Foner, you had winners of the last five races pay 480, 920, 480, 880, and 340. So you had the favorite in the fifth, 6-5, in an eight-horse field, pay the 440. Then you had a co-second choice win the second leg in a nine-horse field, pay 920. So favorite, co-second choice. Then in the third leg, co-favorite at 3-2, Scooter's Boy, or Dave Anderson, pay 480. Then another second choice at 7-2 beat the 3-5 favorite in the Pepsi Stake, Kelly Martinez sending out Mean Erica. And then in the nightcap, you had the favorite at a little under 4-5. happened to be a Louisiana bred that that Brary Jones and Brett Brinkman bred originally by the daddy, McCandles. And that one paid 340. So you had a $90 parlay. At 50 cents, the parlay was $90. Yet the pick five, it paid $413. So they've reached a critical mass clearly at Foner. That was unbelievable. So I had to, that just jumped off the page at me yesterday when I was looking at the numbers. So there's gold in them there hills, I guess. I don't know. Today, in addition to Will Rogers and Foner, you have a third. We've got a bonanza of action today because Tampa's back on the slate and got a nice card today at Tampa. And the late double, particularly the seventh and eighth, are really good. Notably, a maiden special seventh race. These are three-year-old boys. Quite a number of firsters. And then a nightcap, which is a first-level allowance, going a mile and a 16th on the turf for three-year-olds. And it happens to feature, and I did this come up with George? I don't think I brought this up, did I? With George Weaver on Monday. Our country returns in here, in this spot. How about that? Our country was one of the plays from Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf and was coming late, but got beat a couple of lengths, ended up in ninth, but 2.5 lengths for all the money behind Structor and Billy Batts and company. Our country with a three-year-old debut, the Constitution, and, of course, the same team as Vekoma. Randy Hill and Matt Gatsis and partners. So nice to get him back. And, you know, I reached out to Owen Hardy. Owen's got Tap Edge in here off the maiden breaker for Kieran McLaughlin. And Kieran, of course, with the training career winding down, we're going to talk to Kieran next week. And happened to reach out to Kieran today. But Tapaj, the Godolphin homebred out of wonderful hysterical lady, broke through in that maiden race in February. Makes the first start for Owen Hardy. Bitcoin Passion in here, too, for Christophe Clément in that eighth race. So, and Gus actually, Gus has looked at the, I think he looked at the whole, let me see. I'm pretty sure he looked at the pick four, pick five for today. Races four through eight. So I'll put that up at the website later in the show. Gus wrote it up last night. So, nice array of action today, and I can tell you that the Tampa starts at 12:30 Eastern, Will Rogers at 2:15 Eastern, and Fonner 5 o'clock Eastern. All right, that's your Wednesday action. Got some other results to haven't gotten to yet, including some of Oakland's. Oakland picks up tomorrow, and there's actually very good money allowance tomorrow at Oakland. And Gulfstream, and we touched on quite a few of those races just as part of yesterday or Monday's visits. So, pool four for the Derby Future wager introduced yesterday. We'll talk to Marty McGee tomorrow. We'll go through that. A couple of new faces in there. We'll do that. Take our first break right here. And haven't heard back from Pete. So either Pete, if not Pete, maybe Owen Hardy. We'll see. Magical mystery guest. Back after this at the races, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, well, come on, everybody, and let's get together tonight.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into hour one on this Wednesday. Very pleased to be able to bring you Owen Hardy, who has got plenty of his own horses to look after, but handling responsibilities for the California trainers. And Owen, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
All right. Obviously, like everyone, dealing with these realities. And, last Friday, the Santa Anita horseman thrown a roadblock by the Los Angeles County Health Department. How's everybody handling things currently?
Well, I think everybody in California is just adjusting on a daily basis. We were swimming against the tide by racing last week, and I think everybody was hoping we'd sneak by. We didn't, and then I think everybody was hoping, myself included, that we'd be back racing sooner rather than later. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. But we're still racing in Golden Gate, and there's an opportunity to run up there. And as long as we can run somewhere in the state, I think the horsemen are going to just run and participate and try and make a go of it that way.
And that is a welcome outlet. And of course, on the harness side, Cal Expo able to run, and on the quarter horse side, Lo Sal able to run. And frankly, Owen, it occurred to me, as soon as this came up on Friday, and there was seemingly some hopeful messages that were trickling out that they might be able to impress upon the L.A. County Health Commissioners and that organization to let Santa Anita run. But now, after yesterday's press release that the order would stay in place, the question becomes, is there an option of utilizing Lo Sal in the afternoons to run essentially the Santa Anita condition book?
I haven't heard anything about that. I would say that would be a long shot, but that's my own very uneducated view on it. But I certainly haven't heard that idea floated around.
Well, in lieu of that, there, of course, will be horsemen probably making, shipments to Oaklawn as well. The beachhead that was established by any number of California horsemen at Hot Springs. Don't know if they're at capacity, though, in terms of taking on any more horses. And, of course, there is the stakes calendar at Oaklawn between now and May 2nd.
Correct. I'm not sure about I think it's all right to ship your horses. I'm not sure about shipping your personnel. I'm sure that's done on a state-by-state basis, but a lot of these racetracks, they'll allow you to ship your horses, and you just can't ship your help. So that would limit the amount of horses you could actually send somewhere unless you just send them to a different trainer.
Or perhaps, and I suppose this would be a question for, for Doug O'Neill and who else is Baltus and any number, Sadler and others, maybe they, as their horses finish up their opportunities at Oaklawn, to come back to California and sub in some that might fit the condition book, and the personnel that are already there just keep maintaining those satellite barns.
Correct. Exactly. It's just a very fluid situation, and it seems to change on an hourly basis.
It's really, given the importance of what the Santa Anita Derby Day was shaping up, to be, this was incredibly frustrating. And we also understand that this directive was initiated by the animal rights people. This was not some, something that, somebody was, outraged because of potential health issues for personnel.
Correct. They're a formidable foe. They saw an opportunity here and they pounced on it.
Unbelievable.
We're down, but we're not out. And as regards to the Santa Anita Derby, it was a you know, it's a big blow because it's a very entertaining weekend of racing, but it'll be rescheduled. The Kentucky Derby's been rescheduled, so you got to bear that in mind as well. I think these races will be made up, and so all is not lost. As regards the animal rights activists, like I said, man, they are relentless. But you know, we know what the enemy is, and we just got to figure out how to beat them.
Oh, and for the backstretch community, over 700 workers on the backstretch at Santa Anita, and then of course, you know, obviously there's thoroughbreds training at Los Al, there's San Luis Rey. Any communication, anything to relay to the horse players and to stakeholders and fans, what anything we can do. We talked to the chaplaincy yesterday, Umberto Chavez in New York. Anything that the public can do to support the West Coast interests?
You know, I would have to, that's kind of hitting me on the fly here, but I would just say, as I said before, you know, you just got to take care of yourself, and take care of your people, and then take care of your horses, and put that first and foremost. And the fact that we still have an opportunity to race in California, these are small mercies. But as long as we all come out of this in one piece at the end of the day, the racing will take care of itself. And I think first and foremost, you know, just really, really got to be kind and generous and think about things right now, and just keep it all in perspective.
Fair enough. And Owen, for you, you know, having taken over for Jim Cassidy, and you know, obviously in the absolute eye of a hurricane, it did seem, and it has seemed over the last, you know, couple of months, last really the breath of the meet, that things really were in the process of stabilizing in Southern California.
That's very true. A lot of the initiatives and directives that were brought into play at Santa Anita, they're annoying, they're tiresome, you know, it's changing. A change is never easy. But the horsemen have adapted with minimal complaint. They've gone above and beyond. Santa Anita's management has gone above and beyond to make it work, and the facts and the figures speak for themselves. And I think that's very important going forward. You know, I think that's why it's imperative that we remain training at Santa Anita, because all these horses, they're all still under the same guidelines, the same protocols, and there's a certain level of control. And if these horses were to get scattered everywhere, when we do start racing again, it'd be like starting from scratch. And then the same problems that we had before would just manifest themselves again. So that's my key interest right now, is staying training at Santa Anita.
Well, in addition, of course, to the horses that you manage yourself out there, you've got the long-running string on the East Coast, too, and the Tampa season continues. And, in fact, today, got to bring it up, Owen, with Kieran McLaughlin's retirement, Godolphin distributing the horses to a lot of their existing other trainers. And that includes you, of course. And Positive Impact makes a three-year-old debut today in the seventh. And then Tapage, the beautifully bred, you know, Tappet colt out of Hysterical Lady, broke his maiden in his last start mid-February for Kieran. And you take over on Tapage as well. Talk about the horses that you've gone on with from Kieran.
Yeah, the Positive Impact, he's just his last 30 days, he's really seems to have come around, and he's very healthy and he's very happy. He's fresh and he needs to run. His only performance to date left a little bit to be desired. So he's going to have to really move forward. These races of late, especially these three-year-old races at Tampa, are just getting tougher and tougher when all these other racing markets shut down. It's, you know, you might as well be running some of these races at Keeneland. But it's a decent race today. He's training very well, and I would say, you know, just off of the way he's training, I think he's capable of hitting the board.
Nice. This is just three quarters too, and it's interesting because by pedigree, you know, there's expectation, there's a couple of things, Owen. It looks like, you know, he obviously long-term will go long. It also looks like he's got plenty of turf aptitude in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't hesitate to run him on the turf going forward. I just really want to see him move forward today and show some spark of interest. And I think he will. Certainly his last two or three works have been a lot better.
Nice.
And with Tappage, he's also a nice horse. He's a beautiful horse. He's a big, strong individual. I was hoping this race would have been run on the main track. I think he's possibly better on the main track. He certainly gets over it very easily. And he's got a very wide post at Tampa on the turf here. It's those wide draws, you know, you're committed. You've got to use your horse early to get a position around the first turn, because if you either commit to the lead or take back, and, you know, it's a racetrack where the races are basically won or lost in the first flight. So, you know, if you've got to make a decision one way or the other. Otherwise, you're going to get fanned wide around that first turn, and then your race is over. I'm not sure how this race is going to play out today, but I said I think he's a very nice horse. I haven't had him very long. I wish the race was on the main track, but it's not. But I wouldn't be surprised to see this horse in a very big race today.
Tapage and Quinones aboard. And how many others did Godolphin send you out of the McLaughlin?
I got four, actually. I was glad to get them.
No doubt. Who are the other two?
I've got a colt called Beachwalker who's going to run this weekend. He's doing very, very well. He'll run a big race and run him on the turf. I like him a lot. And then another filly called Foggy Dawn. Foggy Flight. And she'll run next week. I'm not sure how good she is, but we'll see.
Nice. Well, we're going to talk to Kieran next week and have some reflections on his terrific career as he embarks on a new it's funny because it's new, but people forget that at one time Kieran had Chris Antley's book early on before the training side, and so in some ways it's a return, and the Godolphin outfit very nice, Owen, to get the Tapage, you know, looks like the one with the long-term upside, particularly given that pedigree.
Right. I think Kieran was a very good agent before, and he'll be very successful again. He's got a great racing mind. He's a handicapper at heart, and he's very analytical. He plays his cards very close to his chest. He'll be a top-class agent. I know he'll do very, very well. Regardless which jockey he gets, he's just cut for that kind of job.
Well, and you say when you mentioned the cards, he's a dangerous poker player too. From everything we hear,
indeed. Yes, indeed.
You sat across from. Well, Owen, I appreciate the update on the situation at Santa Anita, and just feel for everybody that is being basically being. Dictated to inappropriately, and we hope that there's a resolution sooner than later, and in the meantime opportunities to ship up to Golden Gate and run up there in the short term. So Owen, good luck with these today at Tampa, and best wishes to everybody to keep healthy and stay safe.
Yeah, guys, like I said, be kind to each other, look after each other, and I'm a glass half full kind of guy, and there is light at the end of this tunnel. It doesn't seem so right now, but believe me, if we look after each other, we'll come through it.
Well said. Owen Hardy, everybody, and for the trainers, the training community at Santa Anita, and they'll do what they can, and we'll try to get a read for tomorrow as well about who might be able to swap some horses out at Oaklawn, you know, that have got those strings out there. And we'll see if there's any further ideas being floated regarding utilizing Los Al. take a break here, and we got a couple of minutes before we're joined by Keith Shamblin, and so I'll bring you up to speed on a couple of other pieces of news and a couple other results from the weekend, including at Oaklawn. I didn't talk yet about Sunday's win by Daphne Moon, our friend Al Gold. Looks like that Philly is stepping forward, and then, of course, there was also Saturday the no-double, the Arkansas Breds, and their big feature. Let's take a break here. Keith Shamblin in a few minutes. Sid Fernando, Sirewatch, Pedigree Focus at the top of the hour, and more.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Pick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and Keith Shamblin will join us in about 5 minutes. A couple of results from the weekend that I had not gotten to yet, and so let's talk about Oaklawn and what went on Saturday for starters. How about the no-double? And happened to have behind me, let me see, where is it? I'll put it up now if I can find it. It's usually right behind me on that shelf. I don't see it there for some reason, but I've got no double. I've got his wind picture here. I don't know where it went. But anyway, the Arkansas Breds on Saturday, the 6-furlong sprint. And how about Calvin Burrell and Cecil? Yeah. Carson McCord, the owner of the 6-year-old KJ's Nobility. Really an easy winner, 2-1, a little under 2-1. And I think I saw, and I don't have the story. KJ's Nobility has been handled by any number of hobby. Had this gelding and Scott Mullins, but Cecil Burrell's had him since last spring, and that's the 4th win. That includes some open company action at Ellis last summer. KJ's Nobility, and that win, 9th of his career, $400,000 in earning. And what a nice meet, Cecil. I'm just noticing this. Cecil Burrell came into the day on Saturday 5-for-10 on the meet, just sending him out, you know, very cautiously. And has been ringing him up with Calvin. Nice win. This is a primary suspect gelding that Hobigo Racing originally produced out of a big pistol mare, KJ's Girl. So that was on Saturday. That was the no double breeders for the Arky Breds. And then on Sunday, there was a few notable races, but they had an allowance that was specifically set for a prep for the fantasy. And it was our friend Al Gold and my Englehart, Daphne Moon. What a great way to start the season, and really, really ran well. Went off as second choice under Davey Cohen, and last seen in the Demoiselle. Of course, she had won at First Asking at Saratoga, producing the always great moment of Al Gold descending the stairs from the owner's section at Saratoga, drinking in the adulation of the adoring public. Everybody loves Al, and Daphne Moon beats 5 others in here. And Mr. and Mrs. Nick Bentley originally bred Daphne Moon. She's a Cairo Prince out of a Street Sense mare, and Al paid top dollar, OBS April last year, $525,000, and she'll arc toward the fantasy out of this, undoubtedly. So that was one of the notable, and I'm just going to check the figure here on this. I'm curious what this came back, because this was a decent looking group, and 83 buyer for Daphne Moon in this spot, and that's easily a career best. So comes back as a 3-year-old and starts the season the right way. And you know, mentioning a couple of different things, mentioning Davey Cohen, I saw where Davey had texted the tweeted the news that I it was news to me. Billy Castle, taken ill, and not knock on wood, not a COVID issue, but a some sort of a stomach thing, and a digestive tract issue, and so best wishes to longtime agent Billy Castle, and we'll get an update. I'll text Billy today and see how he's making out. But that was, I don't even know how I even noticed that. But I did. So there's a quick Oaklawn glance from the weekend with a couple of those, the stake and the allowance spot, and the racing picks up tomorrow. And big full fields again tomorrow, and highlighted by that allowance that I mentioned. We'll probably do some handicapping. Right now, we'll bring in Keith Shamblin of the NTRA, and later this morning at 11:30, the NTRA with a teleconference advisory that will provide details for stakeholders and for trainers and everybody industry-wide regarding the various legislation that is being put into place and money's becoming available. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Excellent. Everybody safe? Everybody healthy and all good?
Everybody's, as far as I know, it's crazy times. But, yes, looking out for an 80-year-old father and other family members. But it's best we can tell, everybody's doing fine right now, going a little stir-crazy like everyone else. But we'll get through this, hopefully.
Well, you and we talked last week in advance of today's teleconference and, you know, the various elements as they've emerged out of the coronavirus emergency legislation in Washington. Alex was providing a framework, and later here, 11:30, I gave everybody, those that want to listen in, I gave everybody the phone number and the access code. Talk about the agenda today, Keith, and what stakeholders and what horsemen and other small businesses related to the industry need to know about today's information.
Yes, the guests on the call, along with Alex Waldrop, our president and CEO here at the NTRA, will be members of our Washington, D.C. legislative team headed by Greg Means. He's the principal of the Alpine Group, and Lauren Basil, who's vice president of the Alpine Group and focuses on tax policy, will also be on the call, along with Jen Shaw. She's a certified public accountant from Dean Dorton. They're a Lexington-based accounting firm that is one of the nation's leaders in terms of equine practices. And Jen is just a wealth of information, and she's going to handle the bulk of the call, and she's going to take listeners through through each of the three bills that have passed so far, focusing on paid sick and family leave requirements and related refundable employee payroll tax credits, tax deferral and credit options available to industry members, Small Business Administration loan programs. They're very complex. Some of them, the gambling industry is not eligible for. Some we are eligible for. Jen is going to talk about the differences and tell us a little bit more about them, because there's a lot of confusion in the marketplace, and she's going to try to clear that up for everyone. Going to talk about just various tax options for individuals where net operating losses, charitable contributions, IRA required minimum distributions, which are waived during 2020. There's some loans available that are related to IRAs and retirement accounts. There's a lot of technical amendments. So she's going to take everybody through it. I think what's most important to keep in mind, well, a couple things. One is a recording of today's session will be available on the DeanDorton.com and the NTRA.com websites within 24 hours. To everybody, if you can't make it on the 11:30 call, You can go on our website and access the recording. Jen also will have some materials that will be posted in the form of a PowerPoint that will be available on our website. And there'll be a transcript, so everything will be available, even to those, you know, you have a lot of trainers and owners who maybe not can't make the 11:30 call, but if they want to access it in the future, it'll be available to them by tomorrow at the latest. But she's got some great information. It's specific to the equine industry. It's general guidance. We still are encouraging everyone to seek out their own counsel for advice, for individual advice and tax advice. But I think listeners who are concerned and or want to know what might be available to them through these first three bills are going to find the call to be very educational and a good use of their time. You're going to hear from Greg Means and Lauren Basil that these first three bills are probably just the first three of what may become many bills. I think they're already talking about a bill four. There could be a bill five, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a six, seven, or eight before this is all said and done. So the Bill 3, known as the CARE Act, that was 883 pages. So we're still making our way through it. Jen is still trying to figure out what it all means. And in these areas where we're finding certain loans, certain credits, tax credits, et cetera, that may or may not be of use or where the industry may not be eligible for the use of these tax credits or loans. We're looking at how we can remedy that, how we can fix it. Some of it's through regulations tied to the Small Business Administration. Other things are tied to statutes that perhaps could be fixed in bills 4, 5, or 6. We're working with the leadership in both the House and the Senate and our allies on the Hill to make sure that as much of this as possible is made available to the equine industry and all of the individuals in the equine industry that are impacted by this terrible, terrible pandemic. So a lot of moving parts, but I think it's going to be a good use of somebody's hour, whether they can catch it live or catch it on tape.
Excellent. And some of the details quickly again, for those that missed the opening this morning, 11:30 a.m. start time, 415-655-0001, 415-655-0001. And when they prompt you for the conference access code, 614-564-921, 614-564-921, the access code and the phone number again, 415-655-0001. And obviously also, Keith, there'll be, I'm sure, extensive follow-ups in trade media out of this. I imagine that the Green Group, Len Green and John, will do something for TDN and send out, you know, their interpretation. They've been wonderful resources for the equine business community as well. And there'll be, you know, lots of that kind of interpretations undoubtedly, you know, made available widely.
No doubt. It's also, we've been tweeting about the call this morning so people can get the information on our NGRA Twitter account. We've also got a COVID-19 microsite set up on NGRA.com. There's information on how to access the call right at the top of our COVID-19 page. But we've got a lot of other important links to the Centers for Disease Control, guidance on how businesses and farms and others should react to this pandemic. A lot of it's people have seen it. It's all over the news, obviously, but there's summaries of the aid, the relief, the economic stimulus packages that have already been written by the Treasury Department. They're issuing updates every day on how to access these loans and how to participate in these programs. Some of those are already up on our website. There's a page called, a section called Summary of Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. There's a number of good summaries for small businesses and others, trainers and stables that they can review. There's links to backstretch worker relief efforts and racetrack security access protocols that are that also work very well with what's happening on some of the farms. We've got some of the information put out by the Jockey Club and others on what breeding farms are doing to take extreme precautions to prevent the spread of the coronavirus while still trying to run their day-to-day operation, which is, you know, something that we face that's really like unlike any other industry that I can think of, other than maybe the agricultural industry that's providing food for America at this point. But, you know, we've got to take care of these horses day in and day out. We've got mares that are foaling. We've got mares that need to be bred. So business has to continue, whether it's at a racetrack or a farm. And there's some excellent information on specific protocols that are being undertaken from Florida to California to Kentucky that I think individuals and businesses might find to be useful if they're looking for help in their own operation. So, and then last but not least, we've got the advanced deposit wagering site companies, links to those as well, because God knows we can use a little pleasure in our lives these days, and we still have racing being conducted. It's not at a lot of places, but as you've been stating every day, we're still up and running. We're hanging on by a thread, and there's information on that as well.
Is there work being done at all, Keith, by NTRA on that front? In terms of trying to reboot in jurisdictions, you know, monitoring, which, you know, I just had Owen Hardy actually before you joined us, and Owen unfortunately did not have a lot of news to impart beyond what we've already heard regarding Santa Anita. But I mean, obviously, the L.A. County Health Department is single-handedly derailed things at Santa Anita. But, as areas of the country either avoid further, further escalation of cases, or as things, as the curve gets flattened, are you guys working with jurisdictions on getting racing rebooted?
Absolutely. And we've started with California, obviously, because it's kind of right in front of us, and trying to get this Santa Anita meet back up and running. And while we're not sending an email from Alex Waldrop to the LA County supervisors, we have reached out to the key stakeholders and owners of Santa Anita to see how we might play a role in helping them get back on their feet and get back up and running, whether that's through direct calls to allies in Sacramento or to the governor's office or perhaps just to the LA County officials. But we are in communication with the key stakeholders out in California to see if there's any role that we can play to help get them back up on their feet. And of course, we'll be doing that across the country as we reach the apex of this virus and it begins to flatten, and tracks seek guidance on how best to perhaps reopen and to begin to offer non-spectator or spectator-free racing in the not too distant future. So yes, we'll that's a key component as we get moved closer to that point.
Excellent. Well, Keith, appreciate you and Alex, and of course Michelle and Holly continue to move forward and offer as much variant options on the contest front too for NHC and more, and doing everything possible to maintain an even strain, as the saying goes, and keeping everybody keeping everybody calm and occupied and hopeful of what lies ahead. But today, 11:30, some invaluable and immediate aid through the federal legislation to help equine business interests. Keith, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Stay safe.
Absolute. And anything we can pass on, don't hesitate. Keith Shamlin, everybody. NTRA, 11:30 today. Let's head for the break. An hour in. Got plenty to do. Sid Fernando going to join us next. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. We'll talk some pedigree action out of Tis the Law's Grade 1 win. And Constitution just continues to produce. We're going to visit with Jen Reutz in hour three. And I don't know if you saw the piece that Jen wrote in The Horse, thehorse.com. But, of course, Jen, the coordinator and the head of the Thoroughbred Makeover, and real concerns manifesting themselves over retirement influx and retirement avalanche potential obviously as some on the broodmare side. I can bring this up with Sid as well, but on the broodmare side, you got an option, obviously, if you think you're not going to be running soon. Some owners will put mares into production right away. And we'll discuss that a little bit with Sid. But Jen addressing what the second career people are already dealing with, which is retirements and a bit of a landslide on that front of horses that people just aren't sure how long this is going to last and how much overhead is feasible in keeping horses in training. So Jen Reutz will join us. Seth Merrill later as well. Right now, quick break. Sid joins us after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you were racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool. Should I keep it light, stay out of the fight? No one's gonna listen to me. I write a song, preaching what is wrong. Will they let me sing on TV? Should I keep it light?
We're back at the races, 5 minutes into hour two. After the visit from Keith Shamblin, I really appreciate it. They've got obviously a busy morning and pulling all the elements together of this 11:30 teleconference. And as Keith told you, if you can't listen live, there'll be tons of summaries. Certainly, I expect the Greens to weigh in at TDN, Len and John. Sid Fernando joins us, and